There is good news today. The epistle says, for freedom we have been set free. Repeat after me. For freedom we have been set free. One more time. For freedom we have been set free. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today's epistle is about freedom. I'd like to talk with you about that in the terms that my friend Larry Crabb might do this. Freedom, what it isn't. Freedom, what it is. And freedom, how to get it. First, freedom, what it isn't. Three subpoints here. One, what freedom isn't. In the immediate context, Paul is warning Galatian followers not to cut their own flesh. And I'll spare you the details. But he's warning them not to cut their own flesh to prove they are all in on their commitment to Christ. They were afraid it wasn't enough that Christ shed his blood for them. They must add theirs to his. Well, now, my guess is that for most of us, that wouldn't be a huge temptation. Like, who wants to? No, probably not. But short of cutting ourselves, we can find plenty of ways to do the equivalent, to try to build a stairway to heaven, to prove our worth to God. The apostle would remind us that freedom is not a fierce regimen of self-improvement or self-punishment. The apostle would remind us that ours is not a religion of works, whether it's works of the church, works at the gym, works at the office, works in school, works at the salon. You're never going to be pious enough, never buff enough, never smart enough, never good enough looking. Sorry. Two, freedom is not biting and devouring one another, consuming one another. That's the language of verse 15. Now, there are two ways of biting and devouring one another. One would be enviously making you look bad to make me look good, undercutting you, defaming you, gossiping about you, putting you down in front of others. Kinds of things that too often happen in domestic or close relations. Spewing abusive words, defiling with touch. But consuming one another can also consist of a smothering neediness, a cloying, consuming insecurity that's always looking for affirmation, exclusive attention, the refusal to give someone breathing room. Three, freedom is not surrendering to every physical desire we can possibly have. Let's look at the list that Paul goes through. Whether it's transgressive, non-stop, boundary-defiant sex, or consciousness-expanding or pain-dulling drugs, whether it's eating and drinking to excess, or eating and drinking only to display our superior taste. Out-of-control desires take control of us, and we're not free. No, freedom in the first place doesn't lie down the path of legalism, using others, or indulging the flesh. Second big point, freedom, what it is. Three more subpoints. One, freedom is receiving God's free gift of life in Christ. Somebody else built the stairway to heaven. You don't have to. You just have to say, Lord Jesus, I accept your sacrifice for my guilt, your beauty for my ugliness, your wisdom for my folly, your strength for my weakness. There is a deep freedom in that simple truth. The debt's been paid, the way has been cleared. I am his and he is mine. Two, what freedom is. It then is my ability to see you in a new light. I'm free to see you for who you really are, not for who I need you to be. I'm no longer like a tick on a dog trying to suck the life out of you. You're not here for me. I'm here for you. Relationships at one level are as simple as that, whether it's priest and congregation, husband and wife, friend and friend, boss and employee. If I'm this free, I may start to do crazy things, like ask the server at my table in a restaurant if I can pray for them as I offer grace. I have a friend who does that all the time, and it's just delightful to see the reaction of servers when they say, well, yeah, pray for. Or maybe like the Christian sociologist Tony Campolo, who used to ask people in the elevator to sing the doxology with him. Sorry, that just goes a little bit over the line in terms of crazy. But maybe freedom means asking your nemesis, you know, somebody you don't like and you're pretty sure doesn't like you, asking them to go for coffee. Three, in terms of what freedom is, when it comes to physical desires, it's being able to say with Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Freedom is knowing that God gave the good gifts of creation for our enjoyment. See 1 Timothy 6:17. God richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Yes, that's in the Bible. Stuff, food, drink, wealth, it's all there for you and me to steward, not to be subject to. And when something has come to dominate my life, just acknowledging that is the first step to freedom. Whether it takes a 12-step program or a wise counselor or friend, self-mastery in ticklish areas of life becomes the means of living into the true freedom that is mine in Christ. Okay, third, freedom, how to get it. There's a rather unfortunate and puzzling mistranslation in Galatians 5:16, if you have the verse in front of you. The New Revised Standard says, live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. It looks like two imperatives, two commands, live by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. But that's not what the Greek says. The Greek, by contrast, says, live by the Spirit, I say, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The second clause is a strongly worded promise, not a demand. Live by the Spirit, I say, and you will most certainly not gratify the desires of the flesh. All the stuff you are trying to do, all the satisfaction you are trying to find on your own and by yourself, whether by legalism and moralism or by using people or indulging your desires, the Spirit will empower. The Spirit will empower what the law and all your effort can't. Your job and mine is fundamentally to live by the Spirit. The Spirit will take care of the rest. The Christian life is not a life of self-improvement, of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, of grinding it out on your own. There's a mysterious onboard presence working within you, breathing God's very life into you and out through you. There's an amazing picture of this toward the end of the Coen brothers' masterful movie, O Brother, Where Art Thou? Everett, George Clooney, and his friends are rescued from their accusers when the valley they are in is flooded. All the vestiges of their old life are swept away along with the accusers. And Everett comes up out of the swirl and takes a deep gulp of air. Breathe in, Everett. Breathe in the breath of God. I experienced the same thing when I was a little boy. On vacation with my family, not yet knowing how to swim, I wandered too far out into a Central Florida lake and felt myself sinking as the bottom fell away beneath me. I couldn't breathe, and I didn't know how to come up for air. Suddenly, I felt strong arms lift me up from behind. My dad had been watching the whole time to see what this little knucklehead was going to do. And I remember that welcome deep gulp of air as I emerged from the water. So good to be alive. Breathe in, Reggie. Breathe in the breath of God. The power of the breathing in of the breath of God accounts for the subtle and lovely logic of the last part of today's paragraph. The Spirit produces all the things the law had pointed to, but could never actually put into us. That's why Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of you and me. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit produces it. We don't. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Each word worth lingering over. And this list climaxes in the splendid litotes. Frustrated English teacher here, there's no charge for this. A litotes is an understatement in which an affirmative is expressed by negating its opposite, like when you say, not bad. That's what Paul does here. He gives you an elegant litotes in Galatians 5:23. Against such things there is no law. Meaning that this list comprises the very life, the Jesus life, that the deeper reading of the law was supposed to incline us toward in the first place. So, freedom, what it's not. Freedom is not trying to prove yourself to God, trying to justify your existence at the expense of other people. Freedom is not trying to find satisfaction in the desires of the flesh. Freedom, what it is, receiving the gift of life with God in Christ and then seeing each other and yourself in a new light. And third, freedom, how to get it. Breathe deep. Breathe the breath of God. Breathe in God's holy word. Breathe in God's holy word in worship, study, and contemplation, and breathe out love, joy, and peace. Breathe in the sacraments of the bread and the wine, and breathe out patience, kindness, and generosity as you become what you eat and drink. Breathe in the presence of the saints and the passing of the peace, and breathe out faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as we become God's house, a haven of hope and blessing for a world desperately in need of a freedom that is freedom indeed. For freedom, we have been set free. For freedom, we have been set free. For freedom, we have been set free. Amen.